Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 48 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight, we have a special guest. We have Mike Giger, also known as Ibex. He's an Appleseed instructor, an orange hat, level 3 in training, I believe. He recently achieved a bronze in tactical rifle at the National Championship matches at Port Perry. And welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you much for having me.
You also have an 18-year-old daughter who is also a two-time junior small bore gold medalist, and she's an Appleseed marksman rifleman also.
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent.
Had a very, very successful small bore career during her teen years, during our time in Michigan.
Excellent. Well, tonight we're going to do the 6 points of marksmanship skills. So later on the show, Mike's going to run us through some of the points of that will help you get your rifleman's badge. But until then, let me introduce the rest of our crew. We have George and Kelly. So, George, what did you do in guns this week?
Yeah, start with me because I did one word, nothing. I didn't even touch a gun. Started trucker school this weekend, so I got my air brakes license again.
Oh, good for you.
So that's all I did in guns.
I would be kind of sad if you didn't get it. Anyways.
Well, I put you in first because you'd be the shortest, because I knew Mike probably did something in guns. So what did you do in guns this week, Mike? Any range time?
Myself? Yes. Actually went out and got a little bit of quality range time in over the weekend. Weather's starting to become more cooperative, not quite as sweat-inducing, and have a couple of bench rest competitions coming up. So went out and got some quality trigger time in.
Now, you're an F-class shooter too, right?
Yes, I do shoot a little bit of F-class. I shoot mid-range prone, more than F-class. Going to focus very, very heavily in the upcoming season on trying to improve my service rifle rating.
Good for you.
And what about you, Kelly? What you do in guns this week?
Well, I finally heard from the RCMP that the CFO has mailed out my RPAL. So they did it on Friday, so I'm going to be legal soon, though. So, well, I'm already legal, but anyways.
Firearm-wise legal.
Yes, yeah, okay. I can go out and buy stuff. Saturday, we did some time at the range, one of the ranges that we belong to. We did some maintenance and cleanup at the Brockville Range. And then we also went to the gun store, took a look at the new, it's not new, but the guys at Slamfire were talking about this last week. Matt and Owen were talking about the Caltech Sub 2000, and they had one there, and so I was looking at it. It's kind of a funky gun. It's a 9mm, and it folds up so you can throw it in your backpack, but I'm not getting it. So. And then yesterday we went to Frontenac. I did some pistol drills so that we could go down to Valkyrie, do the Valkyrie course in a couple of weeks. So we took all the information that Jason and Brian gave to us last week when we did our show, and I did some of the drills that they were talking about. And I had to do math. I don't like math, but and shooting different colors and that too. And then we just made it a little bit of fun, so we bought some of those balsa wood animals. So we got dinosaurs and stapled them and put some colors on them, so we did green, red, pink, whatever, and then we did math again, and yeah, we had a whole bunch of dead dinosaurs at the end of it, so it was fun.
Why'd you have to do math with your shooting?
Math with the shooting? Because we put numbers on the board, and are on the targets, and so, like, what's 10 times 2? Add 6. So there was a 26 on there, so I'd have to shoot 26. Or what's the square root of 16? There was a 4 there, so I'd have to shoot a 4. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah,
that'd be confusing at my age, too.
And then at a certain point, I just shot anything. Oh. Yeah. So, practicing both my pistol and my mask skills. Didn't go well.
Yeah, I would have the same problem.
Yeah.
I know there's 50 rounds in that little box of rimfire, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah, no.
Unless you get the box from Kelly, then there's only 10 boxes.
Yeah. Hey, didn't I give you more?
I haven't seen you since then.
No, I haven't, so I still owe you a box.
Well, we're supposed to be meeting up this weekend, are we not?
Yeah.
We're going to go check out the SIG sale at the Firearms Outlet and maybe get some range time in so she can bring an additional 40 rounds for me.
Yeah, I'll bring you a whole box. Anyways, it's not like we're not going to use it. Anyways.
Oh, it'll be gone. Okay. 10 seconds. So guns in the news this week.
Yep.
The Toronto Police Service Board is considering a coroner's request recommendation that the force continue to explore new technologies in the area of less than lethal use of force after the fatal shooting of Donald Thompson, who threatened officers with a machete in 2013. Excuse me, if I was a frontline officer and my life was being threatened by somebody with a machete, I would terminate the threat, period. So I don't blame the officers for doing what they did. Police representatives met with the California-based Alternative Ballistics, which manufactured a device that catches a bullet inside a metal ball as it slows it down as it strikes the target so it doesn't penetrate. So basically, the device is supposed to capture the projectile and reduce its velocity to about 20% of a normal muzzle velocity. So it becomes a big, short-range, heavy pellet gun, basically the first shot, and it may crack or bruise a rib, but that's about it. So you're going to piss off the criminal even more by hitting him with a slug. The device sleeve is an aluminum silver alloy bulb that fits in the front of the barrel to catch the first shot. Supposedly the second shot is supposed to be a normal round count or a normal round, but that's if the gun even cycles properly after doing the first shot, because I'm sure having that device is going to affect your slide or your muzzle. But I haven't seen it being tested at all, but apparently this stupid thing retails for $45. No police service is currently using it, so I don't see why they'd even consider it if it's not in use anywhere in North America. But the unit sells for $45, but they failed to mention the cost of replacing the 4,500 holsters that would have to be custom made for the clown gun. So guesstimating a price of $50 per holster, you're looking at $270,000 just for the holsters, plus $243,000 for the clown gun attachment. I feel the money would be better spent on additional training for our officers or hiring more officers. And what did you have for story two, George? It's a real short one in here.
Yes, story two. Sorry.
You were muted again, were you?
I was.
It's too early to be doing show notes.
Guilty. All right, story two. Our great friend, Sheldon Clare, has announced that he's running as an independent candidate for Caribou Prince George in October's federal election. And then somebody has insert laughter here. Ha 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 ha. Is this newsworthy? Not really, but it's three lines. Thought we'd throw it in. That is all.
Okay.
I'm feeling nauseous all of a sudden. What's story three, Kelly?
D&D has announced that any Canadian Rangers who are licensed to possess a firearm will be gifted their Lee Enfield rifles. And it's one of the stories we covered last week, didn't we?
Yes. The new rifles are going to Seiko C-19s.
Seiko C-19. So on Friday, the Citizen published a letter from Colonel Rob Foster, Director of Army Reserves in the Canadian Army. In his letter, Foster wrote this: "It is correct that members of the Canadian Ranger Patrol groups who are adults and meet the requirements prescribed by law to hold weapons," that would be actually somebody who has their PAL or our PAL, right? "Will be gifted their Lee Enfield rifles when the new C-19 Ranger rifles are issued." So congratulations to them, because normally when the new rifles come out, the other ones are returned and destroyed.
Or so, put in storage for indefinitely.
And then sold. Yes.
Well, the beauty about those things is that most of the Mark IVs that are out there, they're in public hands, have all been sporterized. And, you know, you could pick those up 20, 30 years ago for $50, $60. Nowadays, a non-altered version and its original military configuration, mm-hmm. they're worth big bucks. You're talking $500-$600 for the Enfield in good shape, depending, you know. The parts are out there, but they're minimal. So it's a nice little gift you get from the government.
Yeah. Kevin has one of them. We used it with the closing of the Kingston Penitentiary. So it's quite a nice rifle. I have pictures of me firing it.
I had a sporterized version, and I sold it. It was given to me, actually, as a gift, and I ended up selling even the sporterized version. I got $250 for last year.
Was it a little cadet?
No, it wasn't a little cadet. I sold it to...
Did you make a profit again?
Did you make a profit off it?
I made 250% profit on it because I didn't pay anything for it. And the guy that gave it to me a few years ago, he wanted some money out of the deal. I said, no, buddy, you gave me the rifle and I sold it. So he wanted the cut after the fact.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, but it's a 303 makes a great great hunting round. Kicks brutal, but it's a nice gun.
Yeah. All right.
So tonight's main topic, because everybody, most of our listeners are really into the apple seed, maple seed. We really wanted to help fine-tune some of your basic marksmanship skills. So tonight we're going to cover basically the six steps of firing the shot. So we have Mike on tonight since he is skilled on that. So Mike, what's sight alignment? What is the proper sight alignment that you would suggest for doing a maple seed?
Your sight alignment is going to be the first of the six steps in firing a shot. Very basically, it is exactly what it says. Sight alignment is getting your sights on the target itself with the various sight configurations, an aperture or peep sight. You want to center the top of your front sight post in the ring on the rear sight or the V, the top of the post. You want to center that horizontally, about the same amount of daylight on either side of that. And vertically, you'll want it centered on your sight, about halfway up the circle if you're looking through a peep sight, lined up at the notch. If you're working on open sights, there's multiple configurations on your open sight. But again, the same principle would apply. You'll want to center that front sight post in that notch on the rear sight. You'll want the post showing equal amounts of daylight on either side. You want the top of the post on the same, same level height. And then last but not least, with the popularity of telescopic sights, you'll want that crosshair centered horizontally and vertically on the target. Using care, you don't want to be canting or tilting those crosshairs.
When you're teaching your daughter how to shoot, what was easier for her, open sights or the peep sights?
She spent a lot more time shooting the open sights, mostly because her dad was a little bit on the cheap side, and that's what I gave her to shoot. And then as we progressed into the actual competition phase, as well as the qualification phase at the Appleseed, I turned her loose with a scope rifle. So she's very familiar and comfortable with the telescopic sight.
All right.
Now, when you've got your sight focused, or the type of sight you're using, what's the how would somebody acquire a proper sight picture?
Your sight picture, you'll want to go ahead and maintain that sight alignment, and you bring your sights onto the target, and with a lot of times you will use what's called a 6 o'clock hold, down at the bottom, almost like an apple on a post, if you will, to where you'll have, in a bullseye application, you'll have the circle sitting right on top of that post that was centered in your sight picture. You want to make very, very certain that what you're doing is focusing on that front sight blade. The eye can only focus on one item at a time, and you're trying to keep three different pieces in alignment, and you're only able to focus on one. And over the generations, it's been shown and demonstrated repeatedly that the correct and proper way to keep that sight picture is to focus very sharply on the front sight. That'll be the same whether that's an aperture sight, peak sight, open sights, and then likewise with the telescopic sight, you'll want to be focused on that crosshair, having your crosshair sharp, and this will lead to, if you will, a blurry picture of the sides of your sight, as well as a blurring of the actual target itself. But the correct focus is on the crosshair or the front sight.
Well, okay. Because it's physically impossible for the human eye to focus on three distances at the same time. And if you, it's better to do a 6 o'clock sight picture on your target, because if you're focusing on the actual target itself, you're actually blurring it. So if you focus at the bottom of the target, you can still see the blurred image. But if you raise up and you cover it, then you lose the target altogether. So I find a 6 o'clock hold tends to work a little bit better, because you just focus at the bottom of the blur. That way you still have your target to see instead of covering it.
That's if you're using peep sights.
Yeah, peep sights are for open sights.
Open sights. But with scopes, you'll be able to see everything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, unless you have old eyes like mine.
Okay. So you're not focusing on, you're not doing a 6 o'clock if you have optics. You're actually a center of target.
Yes, that's correct. You'll go ahead and go with your point of aim being your point of impact.
Right. Perfect. So what about restrict pause? That was one of my things with the Appleseed. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Respiratory pause, it's a very, very important aspect of the six steps. Breathing is a very natural process. We've all been doing it. We're all pretty fairly adept at it. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's a normal function. And when you stop and study the respiratory cycle, if you will, you'll breathe in and you breathe back out to a normal range of exhaling, and your body naturally pauses at that point. It will go somewhere from 3 to 5 to 8 seconds before you will start another inhale on the next cycle. And there have been a number of different theories about trying to inhale to a certain point and hold that breath, or exhale deeply and try to hold your breath. And it's been found that just following that natural respiratory cycle, that when your body is normally going to stop itself in that respiratory cycle, is a natural respiratory pause. And that is the point where you're not forcing yourself to hold your breath. You're just discontinuing that cycle for anywhere from that 5 to 8 seconds. That's where you will find that your crosshairs or your front sight will settle on that target. And that is the point that we're after right there. The front sight or your crosshair will stop. It'll settle. You notice when you're working through the sight picture aspect, that when you're inhaling and you're exhaling, that your sight will move. When you're inhaling, you'll notice that your sight will fall on the target, and it rises when you exhale. When you hit that point in your breathing cycle, when you have actually achieved a natural point of aim, that sight will settle at that 6 o'clock hold position, or the center of mass position if you're using the crosshairs of a scope, and that is exactly what we're after. You'll find that you'll have somewhere between 5 to 8 seconds where your body and your eyes are still oxygenated to the point where you'll get a good, crisp sight picture. Your respiration is not going to be moving that sight around, and that's what we're after. If you get at that point and you're not comfortable, you'll find out that you'll start to tremble just a little bit as your body starts to deplete itself of oxygen. Mm-hmm. We certainly encourage our students not to rush that shot. If it's not right, go ahead and take another breath, go through that full cycle again, and start over.
It does make a difference because probably about 15 years ago, I took my level 1 and level 2 pistol coaching courses, and they were telling you to take a breath and hold it. And I found after my Appleseed, doing the respiratory pause, I get a much tighter grouping because I've just eliminated all that motion.
Yeah, and I find, like, I would hold my breath, and about halfway through it, I'd start to tremble or whatever, too. So just breathe through it and just relax. The more that you breathe through it, the more relaxed you are, the better shot you'll be.
Yes, there was years ago, probably in my youth, there was a school of thought of breathing in and trying to exhale halfway out and then hold your breath. What we're after is repeatability, which is how you end up with a good shot grouping, is mm-hmm. trying to do everything the same way every time. And one of the pitfalls of that is how much is halfway? Sometimes you let a little bit more breath out. Sometimes you don't let as much out. When you don't get it quite right, it doesn't do anything that is conducive towards a repeatable sight picture with that natural point of aim. So it's progressed to the point where we just let that breath all the way out to a natural, comfortable pause and go from there.
Okay. So the number 4 step was focusing your eye on the front sight. Now, we actually just talked about that when we were talking about sight picture. So do you want to talk about the squeeze the trigger?
Yeah. And on that focusing, that's a two-part activity.
Sorry.
That's okay. One of being the physical task of focusing your eye on that front sight, as we've already discussed, you know, the fuzziness, the lack of clarity, excuse me, on trying to focus on different points of the sight plane. It is worth repeating that we want to focus only on that front sight or on the crosshairs. And then the second part of that task is keeping our mind focused on keeping that front sight on the target. Since we are focusing our eye on that front sight post or crosshair, we want to keep our mind focused on keeping that front sight on that blurry target down there. We need to learn to trust this skill set, that blurry picture down there, that the end result is what we're going to be after.
Well, it really is learned behavior that you have to practice, because I think physically you think of focusing on the target, and it really takes a lot of practice just to eliminate that and put all your focus just on the front target. Because I think normally as human beings, we've always focused on the distance, and it's really hard for the new shooter to focus his energy just on the front sight. It takes a while for people to do it, to become automatic behavior.
Right.
It does. This skill set that we're talking about is as you stated, it's a learned skill set, and you know, we have to We have to trust in what's been learned before us. We don't need to try to reinvent the wheel on this. These are specific tasks that do work. We need to learn to trust in them. We need to learn to trust, believe the bullet on what it tells us after it gets to the target. And, these things do work, but they are a skill set that needs worked on and developed to where they become, if you will, more of an unconscious, type pulling of these component pieces together.
Yeah.
It will seem in the beginning, it certainly takes a lot longer to talk about the six steps than it does to do them. But they do become a very muscle memory type of activity.
Yeah, they do. The more that you do them, the more the easier it is. So let's talk about squeezing the trigger.
Pressing the trigger.
Yep.
Yes. Squeezing the trigger. The trigger press is one of the most important aspects of the firing of the shot. There are so many things that you can do incorrectly that will have an adverse effect on the shot. We don't pull the trigger. We don't slap the trigger. We don't snap the trigger backwards. We are after a straight press to the rear, a smooth press of that trigger back to the rear, by keeping our finger clear of the stock. We don't want to be laying our finger along the stock or along the trigger guard. That's referred to as dragging wood.
I'm very familiar.
Yes.
Yes, you've had an orange hat or a red hat that is threatened to take a broomstick after you if you don't get your finger off of that stock.
Yes, I've had that.
Yes,
we
yes.
both had our feet kicked.
You're dragging wood, smack.
Yes, you're dragging wood. Many of us have heard that. And how that affects the outcome of your shot is without a direct, straight, smooth press backwards, any type of sideways influence upon that trigger press is going to compound the very small amount that you're going to move that stock or the trigger sideways is going to manifest itself on the bullet leaving the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Between the amount of time that you press that trigger to the rear and the bullet actually leaving the barrel, although it is only in fractions of a second at the rate of speed that a bullet is traveling down a barrel, it is enough time to change that point of impact. So it's a very, very important aspect to what we're after. Myself, when I went to my first apple seed, I had, if you will, come back to the rifle sports after spending a number of years competing in shotgun sports, where I had developed the poor habit of trigger slapping, and I also became familiar with an Appleseed instructor standing over me, threatening me with bodily harm if I didn't stop slapping at the trigger and pay attention to those fundamentals of that slow, steady, direct press using the pad on the first joint of that finger, keeping that finger curled, keeping it clear of the stock and the trigger guard, and just focusing on that straight press to the rear.
Now, sometimes the straight press isn't always possible, depending on the firearm in use. Because I know, for example, say if you're using a double action, especially a smooth face double action revolver, sometimes putting that pad on the trigger, it's difficult because it's so slippery, it'll slide off. Or if you've got a really heavy trigger pull, for example, Brian's Colt has a very, very heavy trigger pull, and he found he could not get the shots off accurately doing a straight press. He had to go back to using the index and the first finger because he could not get a straight press with the pad. He had to do the notch because the pull was so heavy. So if you've got a really, really heavy trigger or a heavy double action, sometimes a straight press may not be to your advantage because your finger could move off the press. That's just what I've noticed in the past.
Yeah, he tried it when he was first. He thought he'd try it the Appleseed way, and it just didn't work for him. So he switched back to what he was doing.
And he got rifleman. He didn't get his rifleman when he tried it with the press.
No.
But every other target, he got his rifleman because he did what he had all the other skills, but the way his gun was set up and his training, he couldn't get the proper press that he needed for his gun. So you are going to have the odd firearm that will limit you to your trigger, your finger placement on the trigger. It does happen. But with a lighter trigger, usually it's not a problem, but he's got a standard 8 or 9 pound military trigger on it. So it was difficult on that AR for him to do the press that they were teaching.
Yeah.
Now, what's the importance of follow-through, Mike?
The follow-through is a continuation of some of the things that we talked about on that trigger press and the squeeze. Oftentimes, students will hear at an Appleseed or a Mapleseed that there's 43 E's in squeeze. You squeeze until that trigger breaks, your shot breaks, and the final step is the follow through, being a two-part activity again. After you have broken the shot, you want to keep that trigger pressed back. As the trigger breaks, you take, if you will, a mental snapshot of your exact sight picture when you broke that shot. By holding the trigger back, that reduces the amount of movement that you're introducing back into the firearm through that recoil impulse, and that allows the bullet to clear the barrel before you're putting any movement back in. That's where your instructors are so adamant about not trigger slapping, not snapping.
Okay, so when we
leave that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so when you're pulling the trigger back. So what happens after that? You're resetting the trigger, right?
After you have gone through that recoil impulse, and the rifle is set back, you still don't want to take your finger off the trigger. You just relax the pressure on the trigger, and you feel that trigger come forward, and most of the time you can actually either hear it actually audibly click, or you can certainly feel it through your finger when the trigger comes back and re-engages the sear.
Okay. And yeah, I can hear that on my rifle when I'm doing it.
And then the last aspect of that is that mental snapshot that you've taken right as you're breaking the shot. That is a continuation of focusing your mind on that sight picture and on the target. And if you've done everything right, you'll see the snapshot of exactly where that bullet is probably going to end up. If you go down after you've fired your group and you've actually called a shot that is outside of the centered group that you're after, it's not necessarily a bad shot because you recognize that through your mental imagery of that and can then read your target and fix the corrections that you need to make on that.
Right.
I noticed that at the Appleseed, I could, by the end of it, I could actually call my shots because I knew when the shot broke where my sight was. I could tell which ones I threw and which ones were going to be good shots.
pretty much you're able to. So you have to trust your NPOA. If you get that down and do everything else, then you'll be right on where you're supposed to be. Especially if you sighted your rifle and it's correct with the ammunition that you're using.
Yes, and one of the positive features coming out of calling your shot and believing your shot is you avoid the potential downside of chasing the bullet around the target.
Yeah.
You know, what we're after, especially with new shooters that may or may not have a good solid grasp on sighting in their rifle or pistols, what we want is we want a consistent group, regardless of the point of impact on the target. If we can get a good round-centered type group, then we can make the correct adjustments to the sight system on that individual rifle and or pistol. And if we have an aspect where we've taken one shot that may not be within that group and we weren't calling that shot before it was taken, then oftentimes new shooters will have a tendency to adjust their sight picture to follow that last shot, and in effect confusing the shot grouping.
Right.
Yeah, because they're chasing that last shot, but the last shot might not have had proper shot placement in the first place. Which
exactly.
One point I wanted to mention too, I was listening to the last episode of Action Shooting Radio, and I wanted to mention it too. When you're transporting to and from a match, you should always try to get a sight in before you do the actual match, because you may have taken the rifle to the range, sighted it in, and it's dead center. Then you travel to Michigan. That rifle's been bounced around in the case for, you know, how many hours? It's been bounced around through customs and everything else. You don't know whether the customs guy has adjusted your settings or anything. So before, even though you've sighted it in, before you actually do a shoot, if they have a sight in bay, take advantage of it before you actual shoot, so you make sure that your zero is still holding. Because
yep.
I noticed my zero had actually adjusted when we got to Michigan, because I had it set up for one ammo, and then Stacy lent me another batch of ammo, so my first targets were all off, and I just did a couple adjustments, and everything was back up again. So it's important to actually do a sight in before you compete.
And it's also important for you to know your rifle and your scopes and everything, and make sure that everything is tightened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus this week.
Nope. Okay. All right. Did we want to talk about MOA or anything like that?
Yes. And those... and
no.
There's Mike.
There he is.
Was that the NPOA?
Minutes of angle, though. Do we want to talk about that at all, or when you're adjusting your sights?
We certainly can.
Okay.
The majority of your sighting systems will have an increment of measure to make adjustments. The units of measure that we use in shooting is traditionally MOA, minute of angle. That's going back to those mathematics that you mentioned earlier that you're so fond of. it does make you scratch your head and wish that you had paid closer attention in your primary school when your mathematics teacher was explaining angles to you. Minute of angle is, again, it's a mathematical term. It is a unit of measure, a degree in a circle, has units of measure that is 60 minutes of angle within 1 degree on a compass, and the will be divergent with that angle. It will stay constant with that angle as it proceeds away from you. So we have a formulation which very fortunately for us is certainly those of us that are used to working within inches. There is another system also, the milradian system, which is confusing to me because for some reason I don't understand things that are grouped in units of 10.
When I grew up, it was all imperial. It was all inches. And then halfway through high school, they went to metric. So I'm still screwed.
Yes. Well, me being an older, more aged individual, I've given no consideration to trying to change my ways to the milradian system. I grew up with minute of angle. That's what I understand. So that's what I continue to use. It works on a very constant system. It's approximately 1 inch every 100 yards. So 1 minute of angle would equal 1 inch at 100 yards. A minute of angle also equals 2 inches at 200 yards, and continues on like that. And then likewise, when we start trying to adjust sighting systems at an apple seed or a maple seed, most of the time we're shooting at a reduced range down there at that 25 meter range. So that 1 minute or 1 inch at 100 yards becomes half a minute, or 1 minute becomes half of an inch at 50 yards. It becomes a quarter of an inch at 25 yards. So when we see a group that is an inch low at 25 yards, we're seeing, knowing that formula, each quarter of an inch is 1 minute. The sighting system will have a telescopic sight most of the time. Most common sights are in quarter minute of angle clicks.
Yeah.
So we would be looking at moving that 4 minutes to make a vertical adjustment. The same thing would apply to a horizontal adjustment. Many of your deep and aperture sights will have different and varying units of measure on each particular click or turn, if you will. Many times the tech sight, which is very popular, carries, I believe it's about a 5/8 inch, which that's very helpful when you need to do something in exactly 1 inch and it comes out 5/8 of an inch per click. But that is what the threading system on them is for. So, and they're very easy to make those types of adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very popular site. I've seen quite a few people shooting those at the Appleseed.
Okay. So what's the biggest advice that you have for anybody that is going to be shooting, wants to improve their shooting?
Pay attention to the fundamentals. This block of instruction that we just went through tonight is one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention if you have the opportunity for good quality instruction about building good solid shooting positions. Again, pay attention to these fundamentals. Learn what the natural point of aim is. Learn to develop that, and honestly, quite truthfully, practice. This is a learned skill set. It is a perishable skill set. You can go to an apple seed or a maple seed and you have a tremendous amount of information given to you over the course of one weekend, and go away from that with a good working knowledge of the basics of that. If you don't go out and apply those basics with this type of practice, before very long, you'll find out that that skill is starting to slip away. There really are no shortcuts to marksmanship. It involves repetition. In this day and age of questionable quantities of rimfire ammunition, 22 long rifle, which is starting to find its way back onto the shelves, but still becoming a little bit scarce, as well as the price going up. Dry firing is also extremely beneficial. There are a lot of good things to be learned from dry firing, where you're not dealing with any type of outside influences. There's no recoil. It's pretty hard to hide the shortcomings of the fundamentals of firing a shot when it's just you and your rifle and no recoil looking at yourself in the mirror. It's pretty hard to hide from the truth. So dry fire is also a very, very productive activity.
I find it's really important, especially with a new firearm. I've noticed that whenever I buy a pistol these days, I dry fire it a lot before I even take it to the range, because everything is different. If I switch, say, for example, from a 1911 to, say, the double action 9mm, the whole manual of arms, the whole grip, everything changes. So I find it's really important that I'll sit there, I'll spend the night before I go to the range just dry firing, just because it becomes an automatic function, because my sight picture changes, my trigger press changes. So we can't impress or stress the importance of dry firing, especially a new firearm, before you actually take it to a match or to the range to compete. Get used to it, practice, and till everything comes automatic. Right, George? He's muted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dry firing means you don't even have to actually leave your house either. With us in Canada, you have to pick up and you have to go to the range if you want to go and fire. But here, you can just stay at home. Dry fire in your basement.
I pick a point in the wall, and I'll just sit in the Chesterfield. Tara be watching TV, and I'll pick a point on the wall, and I'll just, it drives the dog crazy when he hears a click, 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 click. But she'll be watching whatever's Baxter or whatever, and I've just got it tuned out, and I'm just focusing on my trigger press and just practice.
You can use this, like Thomas, you're talking about pistols, but you can use all of this sight alignment, focusing on the front sight and everything. For every firearm. Could be a pistol, could be a rifle, could be whatever.
Like when we went to the Appleseed, he was suggesting that when we practice our prone at home, mm-hmm. To use a power receptacle as a point of aim. And mm-hmm. that's perfect, because it's just the same elevation basically as your target would be.
Yep.
So you just lay on the floor, get yourself your mat, and just dry fire until it becomes second nature.
One of the things that I was trying to get, I went to a couple of the dollar stores around here, but none of them had it, was just one of the cheap laser pointers, and just fasten it to it, so that when I was working on my my breathing and my NPOA, I could see where it would be on the wall, but none of them had them, but I was still able to practice it a little bit, so.
That's a good suggestion. Well, if I see one up here at the dollar store, I'll grab him, because he's only $1, $2.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll drop by tomorrow, see if they have any. I'll grab a couple, because I wouldn't mind putting one on my, I've got my old Ruger 1022 stock. I wouldn't mind putting it on there. It'd be nice and light for practicing.
Yes, and that the use of that laser pointer on a rifle stock is such a very poignant and vivid visual example that we used very, very extensively at the Appleseed and Mapleseed shoots by the instruction staff. You go through the block of instruction on a position drill, and we have the conversations about the natural respiratory pause and the NPOA, that natural point of aim, and being able to actually see someone get into position and find their natural point of aim, and having them close their eyes and bump that stock off target or bump it straight back into them to simulate recoil with their eyes closed, mm-hmm. and to have that laser pointer come right back to that natural point of aim. Very, very powerful. Very powerful stuff.
It was. It was a great training tool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, incredible training tool.
Yep.
Listen, Mike, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, your knowledge is extensive. Like, we can see it when you're posting any of your stuff on the Armed Squirrels challenge, and it was awesome to have you on here. So thank you for coming on.
Well, again, thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, maybe we'll see you. I think we're planning to do another Appleseed in February.
Michigan.
So we'll be out back there in February. I know they're trying to work on another version up here, but we're not sure what's happening with that yet. But we all want to do another Appleseed. And actually, I want the Mapleseed. I want that Canada patch. But
I think they're going to have another one at some point soon. So just have to, we'll let people know when it does happen up here.
And if we have one up here, Mike will invite you out.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds great.
Hey, beautiful. Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good
night.
Thanks
for coming out.
Thank you.
Okay, upcoming events. What's the first one, Kelly? There's a SIG sale coming up, isn't there?
Yep. So the first one is there's a SIG sale coming up.
No, it's this weekend, not last weekend, right?
No. For some reason, I was thinking it was last weekend, but it is this weekend. It's on Saturday. It's at Firearms Outlet in Ajax. So they just recently opened, but they're having a SIG sale. So it's from 10 to 6. Go on in, and you can enter in to win a P250, I believe it is.
Yeah.
They're giving one of those away, and then there's also some discounts on everything, not just actually the SIGs, but yeah. So that's the big focus is SIGs this weekend at Firearms Outlet. And Thomas and I might even go if we can swing it.
We're working on it. I think there's no HST on pistols. And I looked at their prices. They're quite reasonable. They've got some good stuff.
Pretty decent. Yep.
Because I was looking at that Puma rifle and everybody else wants $299 for it. And I think they want $269. So
that's not bad. We'll
check it out.
Okay, what about you?
Triggers and bows. Remember there was that store out in Burford, yeah, where somebody took their pickup truck, put a brick on the accelerator, and ran the truck right through the brand new store.
Yeah.
Well, they're reopening, and they're having their annual open house is taking effect again. So the new warehouse is back open. So it's going to be August 28th, 29th, and 30th at Burford, Ontario. I'd actually just checked out their flyer, and they've got a couple of nice specials coming up. You can get a Mossberg Plinkster, $99. So if you're anywhere near way the hell out where Burford is, go check them out. And I believe they got a range, too, now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
And what's happening with these playing cards?
So if anybody goes to our Facebook page, pinned right at the top, there's still the charity podcaster deck of cards, where you can see all your favorite podcasters. We are continuing to take orders, but not for very much longer. So if you wanted an order of the playing cards, just let us know. You can email Stacy at thearmsquirrels.com and let her know what or how many that you want. The more that we get, the more the price goes down. We are not placing we're placing the orders all at once, so there won't be any more extras afterwards. So if you're thinking about it, you're on the fence, whatever, it's only, right now we're down to $4.50, I believe, plus shipping for a deck. So just send her an email and she'll add you to the list if you want a deck of cards. They're pretty awesome if you go in and have a look at them. So
how many decks did you and Kevin order?
We don't want to talk about that.
Okay. I ordered 5 and I'm going to go through and order another 5.
Yeah, I ordered 5 and Kevin ordered 20. I don't know why I ordered 20. but 20, you know.
Maybe he's starting up his own podcast. He's going to give him his prizes.
He goes, I'm famous. I'm on a card. Anyways.
I'm famous. I'm on a card.
But I think he's awesome. He is. What card is he? He's the Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
He's the death card. And I'm the Queen of Spades, so you know what that makes me.
No, what does it make you?
You guys don't play cards? Come on.
No.
Okay, never mind.
I play euchre.
I know the Ace of Spades is, what's that group from the 70s?
Motorhead.
Motorhead song.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys look
up... I'm not nearly old enough to know that.
You guys go and Google what the Queen of Spades is.
What card are you, George?
I'm one of the kings.
You're the King of Spades.
I'm the King of Spades. There you go.
I'm the Jack of Hearts. I got demoted to the Jack.
Wasn't there an old song? Baby, the Queen of Hearts. Anyways, I shouldn't be singing. So, that being said, place an order with Stacy at armsquirrels.com.
And George, you're working on something right now too, are you not?
Yes, I am. I kind of mentioned it last week that we're working on getting another discount at a Canadian retailer. That's all coming together and pretty much finalized, so just going to wait for a couple more things to fall into place. So we're hoping to announce that next week. The sale is going to be mid-September, so we'll have a couple weeks to advertise it to everyone, so I'll be very happy to announce that officially next episode.
And I actually did go look at that store's website. They got some nice stuff. I mean, it's a full stock shop. A lot of stores will advertise stuff, and like when you try to get your buck mark, they advertise it, but they don't actually have it in stock. You have to wait. They'll contact a distributor and see if they can even get it. That store lists everything that they have in inventory, so you see whether they actually have it or not, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. So make sure you guys tune in next week, and we'll announce it on the show, and then probably the Monday. I think we're recording Sunday next week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a three-day weekend for me, so either day is good. Actually, no, it's a two-day weekend.
Okay, we'll announce next week, everybody.
So we'll get it all over Facebook on the Monday.
Okay. And I had one more that I just added. There's an Ipsic match that's being run at Frontenac Range this weekend that's coming up. So finally, if anybody needs their black badge, they can do it on the weekend. Message Frontenac, and they'll be able to add you to it. I don't think it's full yet, but... Yeah,
so not do your black badge, but you mean get their qualifying match in.
Yes, get their qualifying match in so that they... Yes, exactly.
And you'd probably have to go on the Ipsic Ontario website to register, and I bet you by now it's booked up anyway.
You know. Hey, you never know.
It's a nice range. Actually, that's where I did my qualifying black badge match, was at Frontenac, and they were super to me. They were really nice.
They are nice people.
Yeah, but they probably didn't know you yet, Thomas. That's why.
This is true.
That's true.
Yeah. And I was with Peter, so he made me look good, so.
Okay. Closing comments. Oh, yeah. You're doing the show, aren't you, there, Thomas?
Closing comments. George.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Oh, that's sad.
I got my air brakes again.
Yeah, no, I don't really have anything else.
Any shout-outs?
Shout-outs? No, don't got any of those either.
George, since it was your birthday, you got to have some shout-outs.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You got free beer and food,
welcome,
so...
Welcome to the show, George. Yeah, so, Sunday was my birthday, so Wanda took me out to the Mandarin, and I walk into the room she had reserved, and there's a table full of friends and family that I was not expecting, so I had a really good time.
I noticed Kelly and I didn't get invited.
Yeah. Must have got lost.
Talk to Wanda.
Must have got lost in the mail, kind of like something else that's lost in the mail. Anyways.
Yeah, like my NFA membership lost in the mail. Yeah.
Talk to Wanda. She set it all up. So then we went back to my parents' place for a fire and some more beers.
Nice. Excellent.
Beers, and more beers.
I only have one shout out. I'm not going to report on the Ipswich Nationals. We'll leave that to Chris and Pat on Action Shooting Radio. But Crystal Powers, the lady that wrote into our show about her belt setup, she came in second in the ladies' production division for Ipswich Nationals. So
good for her.
Congratulations. Way to go, Crystal. Yay. I was actually messaging her on Facebook, and I asked her how many women showed up for the match. They had 20 girls competing this year. And she came all the way from BC to come out for the match.
Where was the match?
I believe it was in Ontario this year for the Nationals. I'm not 100%, but I think it was. Because she was saying one of the top ladies that she expected to shoot or show up was from Ontario.
Okay.
I don't remember. It was, you know what? It might have been out east. Because I think Trevor.
I think next year's is out east.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
But that's a 3-day drive for her and her husband, so...
I know.
I just wanted to give her a shout-out. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Good for her. Well, on that note, I think, actually, I do have a little bit of a shout-out. So, to everybody that we've been contacting, trying to coax to come on the show, to spread their knowledge and everything, thanks for everybody being so receptive and actually making it a better show and coming on. So we have some more guests that are going to be on the next few weeks. I know next week is going to be a great show because we have one of our friends from the Maple Seed.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
We're going to be having Mike from the Reloading Podcast. He'll be coming on soon. And
yeah.
We're going to be having the Trap and Skeets episode. One of our listeners wrote in for that.
Yeah.
And then George is working on, we're going to have a SAS episode coming up. We don't know what's happening with...
I think SAS is next week.
Yeah, SAS is next week. And we'll have Sarah Hissen come on and talk about that, because she's involved in that as well. So,
oh, yeah, awesome. Sarah and Mike that doesn't double load.
Yeah. Now, Mike's not into SAS, is he?
No, he's IDPA.
He's IDPA, yeah. And Sarah does...
But
Sarah
she's,
does the cowboy action.
She's trying IDPA next, though, is she not? Yeah.
Yes, she is. She's not trying. She's already started it.
So oh, excellent, excellent.
She's already been practicing in that as well. And Mike's very proud of her, and she's doing well at it and that too. So we'll ask her all about that. I got invited to a cowboy action shoot at Frontenac on the weekend. I didn't get to go because I was in Brockville. I was cleaning up the range. And that I would have liked to have gone and seen that because I haven't been to one yet, so... We'll go with the next one.
They're a root and toot and good time.
Yeah,
but check one out.
When we were there on Sunday, Kevin and I were at the range that they were using, the Shepherd Range, and we're looking down at the ground, and there's all the lead bullets that have flattened, right, because you're shooting steel targets and all that.
Yep.
And I'm going, holy crap, that's really soft lead when it cut.
Yeah, it hits and it splatters.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And it was quite neat to see the aftermath of everything. So, I like to see one of the matches. And one of the other things I just wanted to say is if you do get a chance to, especially the smaller ranges and all that, go out and help out maintain the range. Like I was doing painting on the weekend, we were getting rid of some of the overgrowth and the weeds and rebuilding some of the structures and things like that. Just go on out, help out of the range. It's fun times. You get to learn, get to meet some of the people that run the place and that, make some new friends and that too. It's good.
So get active in your local club.
Yeah. Go out, have fun, shoot, keep the place maintained.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, so that's about it.
Once again, everybody, thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah.
Download, subscribe, like our Facebook page.
Yep. Listen and and like everybody else too.
Did you listen to the, if you listen to the Modern Rifleman Radio new intro?
Yeah, I did. Julie.
Oh, I wasn't going to spoil it. Just because they did you listen to it, you gotta, I was going to make them listen to it, actually hear who it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's great to hear. I loved when I heard you. I haven't actually listened to the whole show. I listened to the intro like, you got Julie, and then I paused it.
You're just listening to the intro over and over.
I haven't actually listened to the show yet, but I've always been a Julie fan, so I thought it was so cool they got her to do the intro.
Yep. Well, they finally put out a show. So.
Well, you know, Brian's been on holidays, and Ken's been on holidays, and Ken's going back to school in a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, they are.
They need their family time.
And Brian won the trip down east to do the clinic, so maybe, I don't know if we'll be doing another podcast soon. Anyways, all right, that's about it, I guess.
Okay, so until next week, George.
Keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoke it.
Take your kids shooting.
And keep it classy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. 45 Lever with the Winchester
tag. I like my double barrel. Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees, God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.